Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We'll be introducing our in-studio guests in just a few moments, but as we start off, we ask that you join us in the book of the Gospel of John, chapter 21. John chapter 21, beginning at verse 1. Again, the Gospel of John, chapter 21, starting at verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and in this way he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We're going with you also." They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any food?" They answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you've just caught." Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land, full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, "Come and eat breakfast." Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Verses 1 through 17, the Gospel of John, chapter 21. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your grace, your mercy, and your love. And Lord, thank you for the fact that you are love. And Father, whatever you do, you don't have to try to be loving because you are the essence of love. You are what love is. Teach us to act like you, to think like you, to speak like you, to become more and more like you with every passing day. Help us to live in such a way that people mistake us for Jesus every day. Fill us afresh with your spirit of grace, peace, mercy, and love, and help us to walk in it day by day. We love you. We bless you. We praise you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. We're grateful to have with us in studio today, Nia Page. Nia has been on the broadcast as a guest with us before, so we're grateful to have Nia with us today. And also, our guest today is Dr. Garland Pierce. He is the executive director of the Department of Christian Education for the African Methodist Episcopal Church. And we're grateful to have him with us by way of phone. Dr. Pierce, how are you today?
I'm well. Thank you so much.
That's great. I appreciate you taking time out of your full schedule to be with us on the broadcast today. And as I mentioned, grateful to have Nia Page co-hosting with us. So she'll be shooting some heavy and intellectual questions to you today as well, okay? So appreciate you joining us.
Nice to meet you, Pastor Pierce.
Very nice to meet you as well.
All righty. As we start off, Dr. Pierce, I want to ask if you'll tell our listeners a little bit more about yourself and specifically about the Department of Christian Education for the AME Church.
Well, thank you. Again, thank you for having me on your program today. Mm-hmm. Since July of 2016, I have been the executive director for the Department of Christian Education for the African Methodist Episcopal Church. The African Methodist Episcopal Church, the AME Church, is one of the historic black African-American churches, Methodists in tradition. We are present in about about 40 countries around the world. And the Department of Christian Education is that unit within the denominational structure charged with the teaching ministry of the church. We're charged with faith formation at all levels, from, as I like to say, the womb to the tomb, as well as ministry development and leadership development. We're charged with the creation of curriculum, various resources, and training programs, as well as training and leadership development gatherings for the denomination. We work with a network of Christian educators, both laity and clergy, at all levels of the church to accomplish this goal for the advancement of the kingdom.
Okay. Okay, then. And, of course, you know, like there are a number of obviously denominational church families that have a similar department, the Department of Christian Education, or something by a pretty close title. But, you know, Dr. Pierce, you and I were speaking earlier, and Christian education is kind of a fancy word for the process of discipleship.
Absolutely.
And of course, Christian education happens in many regards when people call it that, and sometimes they don't. But, of course, it's the process of coming to know and then coming to grow up in our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we start off our discussion, I'm going to ask, and I would mention, too, one of my goals in having Nia is also a broadcaster as well, and she's also very much into Christian education, though her title may not carry that, but she's an excellent Bible teacher and does that by way of broadcasting as well. So she'll, again, probably be fielding some questions to you today as well, Dr. Pierce. But
yeah, I actually have a question, if it's okay.
Okay. Okay, go ahead.
How do you effectively kind of equip the family unit first? Because you mentioned that you do a lot of education, a lot of teaching and things for the overall scope of AME. So how does it begin with the family? How do you guys equip the family with Christian education?
Thank you for that question. That's an excellent question, because we certainly know that the family is, or should at least be, the center for faith development and spiritual formation. One approach, perhaps a more traditional approach, is our development of resources for the traditional Sunday school or church school. Of course, in an ideal world, that is a place where family comes and family learns together. It may be broken up by various age levels, but the approach that we have been using for, I guess, a century or more is related to the Uniform Lesson Series, which is called that because on any given Sunday or given time of study, all the age levels are exploring a similar or the same theme of biblical study. Also, that's accompanied by the home daily Bible readings, which are designed for families and individuals to read passages of scriptures based on themes that will support the upcoming Sunday or the upcoming study period's lesson. So that's a very traditional way. We're also exploring other methodologies for equipping particularly the adults in the family, the parents, the grandparents, ways to engage in family devotion, family study times, and we know that there are a lot of demands on the family, so we're exploring new and more innovative ways to engage families in biblical study and faith development, because we're convinced that sometimes adults and parents had the desire to pass on these biblical truths and faith, but they don't always feel that they have the resources available to them to equip them to be the teachers of the faith.
I think that's really good because you mentioned that the Bible studies are the same across the age groups, that they're studying the same content. I think it's good because a lot of times people tend to underestimate how much a child can actually take in and how much a child can actually digest and learn. I was blessed by going to the church that one of the other AFA employees here, Abraham Hamilton pastors, and to witness the children in that church and how much they had soaked up just the discipleship from their parents. And like you said, it's so important that as parents that they have the resources and the means to, you know, to give that teaching, to give that truth, you know, to give it to the children, to their children, and to just put them and get and challenge them and give them more because they can actually handle it. And so I think that's a awesome way to begin to, and as you said, you guys have already been doing this, to really equip the family to do discipleship.
Well, you know, just a question, Dr. Pierce, in addition to what Nia's referred to. Now, you know, like you're referring to the Sunday school, and of course, a number of denominations use the uniform Sunday school curriculum. But, you know, there are a lot of people today, they don't go to Sunday school, and they may either have little or no interest or just don't get around to it. And, of course, there's so many families that are so different from the way families used to be. Lots of single parents that are struggling to both to make ends meet as well as disciple their children as well. So what wisdom or encouragement would you give to busy parents, busy families that for whatever reason don't get to Sunday school but need to get in the Word just as much as those that go to Sunday school?
I think one word of encouragement is also a word of challenge. I'm convinced that even the busiest of people the busiest individual can make time for those things that they deem important.
Right.
And so I will stress the importance of engagement with the Word of God and biblical literacy. And so we've been trying to get at this in perhaps rather simple ways. We created some years ago, I guess you would essentially call it an email blast. It's the Daily Spiritual Vitamin. It's a simple verse, maybe two verses that complete a thought from the Bible that people receive via email every morning. And we've added a feature to it that includes a prayer suggestion or a thought for the day or a prayer action. And we believe that even the busiest person can take that daily spiritual vitamin, because we do feel that the Word of God nurtures and nourishes the spirit and the whole human being as well as the family.
Dr. Pierce, I'm going to need to jump in here. We're coming up on a break, and we'll pick up right there on the other side. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our phone guest today is Dr. Garland Pierce, the Executive Director of the Department of Christian Education at the AME Church. Be right back.
And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Corner. The largest recent protest included over 62 million people in 30 states. That was the November 8th protest in America's voting booths. Many Christians supported President Trump to fight for religious liberty. Candidate Trump promised to protect it. President Trump committed to protect it. Visit AFA.net to add your name to the petition already signed by thousands, where we call on our president to make good on his promise. AFA President Tim Wildman will deliver the petitions to the White House to let President Trump know we voted in November and we're watching now.
Visit the Hamilton Corner on the podcast page at AFR.net for more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Recently, I was heading to my regular doctor's office for a checkup. As I approached the lady at the front desk, I explained to her that my health insurance has changed. She goes through the protocol of telling me to fill out another form. No biggie, right? As soon as I handed her the card to my new insurance carrier, she informs me that this year they decided not to carry that particular health insurance. If I was to tell you that I was smiling, I would be lying, and I call myself a Christian for a reason. As I walked out holding back the tears, I get into my car, and a song called Good Good Father is playing through my radio. Instantly, the Lord assured me that He always takes care of His babies. Needless to say, tears began flowing down my face, but not because of the health insurance, but the assurance that God gave me right then. Psalm chapter 3, verse 3 says, "But you, O Lord, are a shield around me. You are my glory, the one who holds my head high." He is a good, good father. With a heart for the Urban Family, I'm today's Urban Woman, Victory McIntosh. Connect with us more at UrbanFamilyTalk.com.
The Awakening, shaking believers out of our slumber and calling us to action. The Awakening, encouraging Christians to rise up and stand, though all around us are falling. The Awakening, hosted by a warrior for the Word of God and for the Constitution, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for
Tune
all.
Tune in to Urban Family Talk, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings at 9 Central for The Awakening. Just as David's mighty man Benaiah chased down a lion into a pit on a snowy day, Lion Chasers champions uncommon men and women of faith who are unafraid to stand up and speak truth to power in these dark and evil days. Never before has there been such a need for people of faith to draw a line in the sand with the sword of truth. Lion Chasers, the intersection of faith and public policy with Lonnie Poindexter. Weekday mornings at 10 Central on Urban Family Talk.
Marvin Sapp, the song Teach My Hands to War. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Our phone guest today is Dr. Garland Pierce, the Director of Christian Education for the AME Church. And our in-studio co-host today is Nia Page. And let me just mention this in a way of an announcement. And, of course, we're grateful to have Dr. Pierce on with us today. I'm a pastor in the AME Church myself. I serve St. James AME Church in Leland, Mississippi. And this Friday, we're having an interesting and a very powerful event. Pastor Ruthie Hooper, who was a guest with us on the broadcast last week, is actually going to be at our church at 6:30, and she'll be talking about her book, the book entitled The Morning I Saw Heaven, A Glimpse into God's Glory, and she'll be sharing about her experience in which God allowed her to have a vision where she traveled to heaven and saw some powerful, powerful things. And so she'll be the message will be based on her book. Again, the title of the book, The Morning I Saw Heaven, A Glimpse into God's Glory. So if you can be with us this Friday, 6:30, at St. James AME Church, 102 Church Street in Leland, Mississippi, please come out and be with us. And she'll share the message. And if you have questions you want to ask her, she is going to entertain questions as well. So please come out and be with us if you can. If you can't be with us, please pray for God to bless that event this Friday at 6:30, St. James AME Church in Leland, Mississippi. Again, Dr. Pierce, if you'll pick up where you left off, and as we start off, would you take this time to pray for listeners to grow in their understanding of the need for us to be involved vigorously in the work of discipleship? You know, it's nothing for us to take lightly, but God calls us to make disciples and to be disciples. Would you pray for listeners to grow in their understanding of the need for Christian education and discipleship in their lives?
Certainly, let us pray. Good and gracious God, we give you thanks for this day. Truly, it is the day that you've made, and we do rejoice and are glad in it.
Thank you, God, we thank you
that you are a calling God.
Thank you.
You call us to wholeness and salvation. You call us into your deep and abiding love. And you call us to be co-creators in your world. And you call us to be disciples.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Not only disciples in and of ourselves, but disciple-making disciples.
Yes, Lord.
And so, God, we give you thanks that your call still comes to us. And we know that if you call us, you will equip us.
Thank you, Lord.
And you provide us with a road map. You provide us with your word, which is your way and your will.
Yes, Lord.
So, God, increase in all of us a desire to know you more deeply and more fully, and to know your word. For your word gives life, and it gives life.
Thank you, Lord.
We pray for all those Christian educators, those who have committed themselves to the teaching ministry of the church. We pray for pastors and leaders that they too might model this disciple-making discipleship.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
God, we thank you for all that you do and all that you are.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Help us to learn more and more of you.
Thank you, Lord.
Pray this prayer in the matchless name of Jesus the Christ, who is your living word.
Thank you, Lord.
In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Dr. Pearson. As we continue on, Dr. Pierce, I want to ask if you'll shed light on this. You know, you've alluded to the importance of Sunday school for the good of the family. And Nia had, as you mentioned, a great question as it relates to discipling the family. You know, would you further comment on this important truth? You know, just like many families just have a single parent there. But, you know, one thing that is true, as human beings, we're motivated by benefit. And,
right,
you know, when you ask the question, what's in it for me? You know, I believe very much so. If we really help believers to understand the huge benefit of simply reading God's word every day, not only would it motivate them to become more avid students for themselves, but parents want the best for their children.
Yeah.
And if they would just start that habit of not only reading the word daily for themselves, but would start the habit of having their children read for them as well, I think that could make a huge difference. But would you share your thoughts on the need for us to really specifically help the family see the benefits of being someone committed to reading and living by God's word?
I think you're absolutely right. I think as individuals as well as families, there's simply huge benefit in starting our day, undergirding our day, supporting our day with with the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And in addition to helping people realize the importance of it, I think it's also maybe as important, if not more important, to help them see that it's quite, I won't say easy, but it's quite possible to do it. It's mm-hmm. quite possible to develop this daily spiritual discipline of reading mm-hmm. The Word of God, to the point that once you have established the discipline and established the rhythm, you can't imagine not doing it. It becomes
right.
such a part of who you are. Mm-hmm. I mentioned these daily emails. Mm-hmm. It takes 2 to 3 minutes at most to read the Word and reflect on the Word and allow that Word to carry you throughout the day. Mm-hmm. And just as one would do that as an individual, it could be done as a family.
Mm-hmm.
Before meal, I know meal times are becoming rare among many families'
mm-hmm. That's right.
schedules,
That's
but true. Along the commute, mm-hmm. while you're listening to the radio, you turn that down and share a moment with the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
So I think stressing the importance of it, but also stressing, for the lack of a better word, the doability of
right.
of developing this daily discipline mm-hmm. of being undergirded by the Word of God.
That's mm-hmm. right. That's right. And, you know, I think of this too, Dr. Pierce, that, like, for example, you know, it takes all of about a minute, literally 60 seconds or a minute to a minute and 15 seconds to pray the Lord's Prayer. Doesn't
right.
take long at all.
Right.
Yet if a family decides, well, we're going to pray the Lord's Prayer every single day, that's not just a nice ritual, obviously.
Right.
When we pray together as a family, the grace of God is released in that home and on that family in a greater way. And the children are learning an important lesson. They're learning that prayer is important to dad or mom because they're praying with me.
Right.
And so, just like you said, Dr. Pierce, it doesn't necessarily take long at all. But sometimes in our mind we think, well, I don't have an hour. You know, we sing the song, mm-hmm. Sweet Hour of Prayer. I don't have an hour. Well, we have an hour for what we want to do, really.
That's right.
But we're not necessarily talking about an hour.
Yeah. I think it's also a good way to show your children and just for yourself, the developing the personal discipline of yourself to recognize that I'm trying to go, but I need to be filled by God. I'm totally dependent on God. Mm-hmm. And when we just kind of keep going with the flow of things and we don't slow down to have that time to let God pour into us, to let God do these things for us, I feel like we cut what we could actually accomplish short mm-hmm. and cut the things in our lives that could happen short because we're trying to do everything out of our own power instead of coming and, you know, settling down and making ourselves humble before God and recognizing Him as the source of our strength and the source of our energies to do what we need to do and accomplish each day.
That's right. That's right. Well, Dr. Pierce, I'm going to share this passage that you're probably thoroughly familiar with, but in Deuteronomy chapter 6, and it's about discipleship specifically happening in the home. Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting at verse 4, and I want to ask if you'll comment, share your thoughts on it as it relates to our day and our culture and families today. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. Again, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 8. And you know, Dr. Pierce, there's a lot in there. It's just a few verses, but would you share your thoughts on just the directive, but also what God is basically calling the family to do?
You know, those first verses are the very essence of faith.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord is our God, the Lord alone.
Mm-hmm.
It's a declaration of allegiance, if you will. It's a declaration of of an affirmation. You said, you know, love the Lord your God with your heart, with your soul, with all of who you are. And if that is your way of being and your way of moving through life, that a recognition, an acknowledgement that the Lord is one, and that you love that one, God with everything that is you, how can that not help but spill out and be spread to all those around you? And again, the teaching is not 1 hour set aside for a given week, but it's in everything and in all your relating. You recite it to your children. You talk to them about it when you're at home and when you're out and about doing your daily errands. It's when you rise. It's when you lie down. You know, it's bound in your hands. It becomes a very critical part of your everyday existence and right. who you are.
Dr. Pierce, how would you suggest for Christians who don't identify themselves as teachers, spiritual teachers, or anything like that, biblical, you know, just having the spiritual gift of teaching, how would you encourage them to impart biblical truths to maybe their coworkers, their classmates, or, you know, their children, their sisters, or their brothers, wherever they are right now, that where they may not be surrounded by people who know the Lord?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think there are many things that, let's say, the average Christian who may not necessarily see their gift as teaching, there's still ways to share. I mean, I think the most powerful testimony is our words and our action.
Amen.
How we speak to people, how we share and treat people sometimes will speak volumes about what we truly believe rather than us reciting a creed or even reciting reciting a scripture. So I would think at a very basic level, that's one way of being and relating to those closest around us. But also in our faith communities, in our worship, in our study, as we participate, as we receive resources, whether those are printed resources or multimedia kinds of resources that we have the opportunity to purchase or receive, we can also always share those with those closest around us who we want to share the faith with. You know,
right.
I read this, I learned this, I had this experience in Bible study, and it had such a profound effect on me. I just wanted to share it with you. I'm not a teacher. I don't necessarily have the gift of eloquence and great articulation, but it was so made so plain and clear to me in the study. I just think it's something that I want to share with you.
You know, Dr. Pierce, that's an excellent example. And, you know, the fact is, you know, like it or not, every parent is a teacher, even if they don't think they are. They have
true.
To be. And, of course, just like you say, when whatever the parent is talking about, the children are going to be listening. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, if you go through the book of Proverbs, notice how many of them begin with the words, my son or my children. They're going to teach.
Right.
Even when they don't want to, parents are going to be teaching. So if the word of God and the topics of faith are a part of our conversation, our children are going to be listening and learning. We'll pick up there. Our guest is Dr. Garland Pierce, the Director of Christian Education of the AME Church. We'll be right back after this break.
I'm Karen, a wife, a mother, a business owner. Needless to say, I'm very busy. Sometimes I scarcely get everything done. That's why I love the hour of intercession with Pastor Joseph Parker. He reminds me to stop and take time to pray and read God's word. His encouragement is great. I carry it with me everywhere I go.
the Hour of Intercession with Pastor Joseph Parker, weekdays at 1 p.m. Central on Urban Family Talk.
One of the big issues in the presidential campaign was religious liberty. Clearly, Donald Trump, our now president, took a strong stand on defending and promoting religious liberty. In fact, he's considering an executive order which will greatly enhance religious freedom and religious liberty for Christian business people in particular in this country. We encourage you to sign our petition at afa.net. Go to afa.net and sign our petition, and I will personally deliver these to the White House.
We're losing 417 Vietnam veterans every day, and with them goes their memories and unique personal histories. This includes the 7,286 African American heroes who made the ultimate sacrifice for our country during the Vietnam War. Help us keep their memory alive by collecting their photos and by putting a face to each name inscribed on the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Washington, D.C. The Education Center at the Wall on our National Mall will display these photos and be a place where their faces and contributions will never be forgotten. It will complete the work of the Memorial Wall and also honor those who sacrificed their lives in Iraq and Afghanistan. Help honor the service of all American veterans and bring their sacrifice to life. Visit vvmf.org to share your photos and your stories. That's vvmf.org.
A message from the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund.
Dr. Tony Evans says a strong knowledge of Scripture can add a lot to your Christian life, unless that's all there is to your Christian life. So what more does God want? We'll find out today as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
How many folks here have been on a blind date? More people than raise their hand been on a blind date because you're on Match.com. And then some of you try to make it spiritual, ChristianMatch.com. Here you have a profile. That profile gives you a written description of the person. Hey, this is the color of my eyes, this is what I look like, this is what I like, this is what I don't like. And you get a profile to see whether this is something you want to investigate further. Don't marry somebody based on a profile, because what is written and what you find out when you hit face to face may not be the same thing. They could be lying through their teeth, they could be deceptive. You don't know, because all you got is a written profile. So what you want is more than information. You want a face-to-face experience. What God is inviting you to is that. He says, I want you to read about me in my word up front. I want you to do it first, but then I don't want you to be satisfied simply with what the Bible says. I want what the Bible says to cause you to pursue a relationship with me. And if you will pursue a relationship with me based on what the Bible says, you will discover I am what my profile declared me to be. And you will experience heaven open, and you will see God face to face for yourself. He wants to bring you into an experience with him.
If you'd like to learn more about what a personal relationship with God is all about, visit us at tonyevans.org and click on the word Jesus at the top of the page. And be sure to join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
I'm
The music of Covenant Church, the song I Will Lift Up My Eyes. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Our phone guest today is Dr. Garland Pierce, the Director of Christian Education for the AME Church. And in studio with me is today Nia Page, who's our co-host today. Dr. Pierce, our time is running really fast here, but during the break, something that Nia pointed out, I'm going to ask if you'll comment on this as well. You know, when I read the passage, I actually left off verse 9, and I should not have done that. Verse 9 in Deuteronomy 6 says, "You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." And one of the realities, too, and if again, just share your thoughts on this, but you know, the way people decorate their homes, you know, pictures that carry the word of God or a plaque of the Ten Commandments. You know, I believe every believer should have the Ten Commandments hanging in your home and regularly talk to your children about them, teach your children to pray the Ten Commandments. But that God is teaching us, decorate your home and your life with the word of God, the things of God, references to the God, to God. So, and God's telling us that's the way to do it. But your thoughts on that?
Immediately when I read that verse 9 and then just heard your comments, my mind went back to the house I grew up in, my parents' house, and certainly on the wall were these two porcelain plates. One had the Lord's Prayer, and the other mate to that had the Ten Commandments. And you know, I learned those in Sunday school and in other places, but certainly were reinforced just every time I entered that room and, looked on that wall. And so certainly in verse 9, we can interpret that as, you know, the physical decorations and the physical environment that that we create for our family, but also in a spiritual way, it goes back to what kind of environment do we create, and how do we relate to our family members, our children, our spouse, and those who we invite into our house, those guests. How are those treated? And in some ways, that's a way of writing this love and confession of love to the one God on our doorposts and at our gates as well.
That's right. You know, and I think of this too, Dr. Pierce. You know, of course, a part of our ritual as a church family is to go through the Decalogue. Basically every Sunday, either in part or in whole. And, of course, the Decalogue, of course, is another word for the Ten Commandments.
Right.
Well, I think of this, Dr. Pearson, again, if you'll share your thoughts on this. You know, one of the Ten Commandments, well, all of the commandments teach us ways to honor God, ways to glorify God as we hear and obey them. And every parent should teach our children. And I like to encourage believers to help their family pray the Ten Commandments every single day. But two incidents that happened around Christmas time that were very tragic, they were all about young men, and as it turns out, they were young African-American men. One young man slipped out of his home early Christmas morning and went and burglarized a vehicle, ended up getting shot and killed. A very tragic story. And then these other four young men, they were caught robbing drugstores. Now, they weren't killed, but of course, they went to jail. All of them are examples of young, gifted men who, somehow or another, it wasn't instilled in their hearts by anyone that stealing is wrong. It wasn't in their heart and their mind, and therefore their life was, well, one young man died because that wasn't in his heart. The others are now incarcerated. Would you share just your perspective to further illuminate why it's so important for us to take teaching the wisdom behind, for example, the Ten Commandments so serious as parents?
Yes, I think when we teach the Ten Commandments, we are teaching about how we relate to God and how we relate to one another.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right.
And those principles are basic to how we live out our days here on the earth.
That's right.
And so I think that's why it's so critical to teach them as well. But, you know, and I certainly don't know these young men or their personal stories, but we've also seemed to have created a society and a culture where our very identity, our understanding of self and understanding of our own worth is so often tied to the acquisition of possessions.
That's right. Yeah, that's
true. And so sometimes those things have a powerful effect on our action. And so if we can't afford certain things, but we got to have these things in order to feel important or to feel of worth, then we'll go to these extremes of taking what doesn't belong to us. And so as we're teaching these commandments, we're also have to teach these basic affirmations of, you know, that you are fearfully and wonderfully made.
That's right.
And that your worth is because you are a child of God and loved deeply by God.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not because of Nikes and Jordans and et cetera, but it's because you are a child of God. And your worth is there, and you must act and live out a life that shows that you are a child of God.
That's right.
Pastor Parker, do we have time for one more quick question?
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Pierce, could you tell me, earlier Pastor Parker mentioned praying the Ten Commandments. What do you think how does prayer and teaching work together? What is the relationship between our prayer and us teaching biblical truths to others?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think prayer is our power. From prayer, we get the power to teach, and that's where we get the wisdom, the Holy Spirit inspired wisdom that we might share with others. Prayer is one of the foundations of discipleship. To be a disciple is to follow the teacher, and the best way to engage with the teacher is to be in conversation with the teacher.
Amen.
You raise your questions to the teacher, but also the teacher gives you the answers, and so that is prayer. That's the dynamics of prayer.
Yeah.
That's right. Thank you, Dr. Pierce, for sharing that. Would you take time now specifically to pray for parents, for dads, for moms, and others to grow in the understanding of the need to make discipleship a high priority, no matter what the shape of your family, what it looks like, and what exactly your family is made up of? The discipleship is supposed to be a priority in that home as a believer. Would you pray for them to grow in their understanding of that need?
Yes, let us pray. Gracious God, we're reminded of the hymn that says, take time to be holy.
Thank you, Lord.
Speak all with the Lord. So, God, we pray now for families.
Thank you, Lord.
We know and recognize the demands that are placed on families, the competing demands for time and attention and resources. But God, ask right now that you plant in the heart and the spirit of every mother, every grandmother, every auntie and uncle, every responsible adult who has been charged with the care of your children.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Plant within that heart a desire to know more of you.
Yes.
But not just a desire for that individual to know more of you, but that knowledge of you, your will, your way, your love might be shared within that family unit.
Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
God, help them know that with you, all things are possible.
Yes, Lord.
because of you, the provisions that are needed for daily bread and for strength and growth can be found in you.
Yes, Lord.
And that all you ask is that we come to you.
Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
That we make our petitions known to you.
Thank you, Lord.
And help them seek out and desire to know you through your word, the divine revelation which you have given to us. And help them know, God, that they are called to be salt and light in your world.
Thank you, Lord.
God, we pray this in the name of Jesus the Christ, the Word made flesh.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Dr. Pierce. Let me say to every listener today, there might be someone listening who's never made that all-important step of asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart as Lord and Savior. In order to really be a disciple of Jesus Christ, you have to come into a living relationship with Him first, and then you learn how to walk with Him. I want to invite you to pray this prayer with me, if you would, and get started on the road of Christian education, that is discipleship. Lord Jesus, Lord, I confess, Lord, I've sinned and I've done wrong in many ways. Lord, I repent. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong I've done. Lord Jesus, I believe you came into this world, that you lived, that you died on the cross to pay for my sins. I believe you rose from the dead 3 days later. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Become my Lord and Savior. Make me the person you want me to be. You told us in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm calling on your name. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Pray that prayer. Get in touch with us. We'd like to talk to you. Dr. Pierce, thank you so much for being with us on the broadcast today.
Thank you for having me.
If you have a website you'd like to share briefly before we go?
www.amecd.com.
All righty. Thank you, Dr. Pierce, for your time today and being with us today. Thank you for being a part of our listening family. Thank you, Nia, for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
And please join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk.